Reed's Ranch is proud to partner with Marcos Garza and the Garza Law Firm. March Madness is here. The Vols are balling. Shots are falling. Shots probably being taken out at the bar as well. If you are out celebrating, if you are out enjoying the weather, be responsible. Don't drink and drive. But if you find yourself needing legal representation, or one of your loved ones or someone you know needs legal representation, Marcos Garza and his law firm are the best when it comes to beating DUIs, to getting the best result possible in your case. Before you say guilty, say Garza. GarzaLaw.com, 865-540-8300. You can get in touch with someone 24/7, 366. Before you say guilty, say Garza. Let's go.
I mean, this is the last stand.
You're listening to The Unfiltered.
Well, I hate to say I told you so.
There's nothing to be done besides to get on Twitter and tweet to all my dumbass followers.
But I told you so.
Hey, I told you so.
The controversial.
He's a dumbass.
He can't do math.
He's an idiot.
He gets his haircut at Walmart. Look at that shitty haircut.
The realest podcast in the Southeast.
Let the dogs loose. Let the goons be goons. 11 in a row. 11 in a row. 11 in a row.
Enough.
38 in a row. As in 38 unanswered points when we were whipping that ass.
Ranch Gang, stand up. The holy war is upon us. Welcome to Reed's Ranch, the podcast with Seth Hughes.
Like, just quit acting like this is any fun at all.
Glorious edition of Reed's Ranch, March 3rd. John Reed, Seth Hughes, Seth's down in Alabama. Congrats on the big win last night, Seth.
Oh, thank you.
You deserved awesome it,
vibes. Buddy. Awesome vibes. Great vibes.
As good of a win as we've had in a long, long time.
Yes.
You could say as good of a win since 2008 Memphis.
Yeah.
Regular season, fair. Of course.
I think that's fair.
Now with this, nothing is accomplished just yet, but now you can feel a little bit like you're in the driver's seat here. You can win the SEC by winning on Wednesday night in Columbia. Even if you lose that game, you still have a path to maybe still get the SEC championship, or at least the one seed. You could get a share for sure, but in terms of just the one seed only, you'd have a shot there. If you had lost Alabama, you'd have really been fighting uphill since South Carolina just refuses to lose now, apparently. But the game on Wednesday is huge, but we shall enjoy the win over our biggest basketball rival at the moment, Alabama.
I'm glad the game is Wednesday, not Tuesday.
Yeah, give you an extra day to kind of cool off.
Yeah.
Plus, I mean, two road games in a row is kind of tough. It's a tough ask.
Yeah. I don't even think that we really played all that well last night. I mean, we shot so poorly.
No, we. I wrote about it on Patreon. I rewatched the game this morning, and I got the urge to write. And I called it a B-minus game.
Yeah.
You can make the case a C+.
B-minus is going to be my grade as well.
And you went on the road, and you beat a top-10 team. You know, by all the metrics. Now, I don't really truly feel like Alabama's a top-10 team, but they were slotted as one by all the metrics. They were 3.5-point favorites over you, and you went in there, and I don't want to say slept walk because you came out and you were focused from the get-go, but you didn't play well. I don't know if it was pressure. I just don't know if it was one of those nights. I don't know if that's just a tough gym to shoot in, but you played pretty poorly offensively, except for a couple of big spurts. And you still won.
Yeah. I said it a couple podcasts ago that I thought that the key to the team might be if Josiah Jordan James makes his first three. He made his first three from the corner last night. I saw a great stat from your colleague Jordan Moore that Tennessee is 16-1 in games that J-Cubed has scored 8-plus points this season.
Okay.
He was awesome last night. He was 3 of 6 from three. Him and Santi shot roughly 50% from three last night. They did all the little things. One thing that really stuck out to me throughout the course of the entire game was that Tennessee got every single 50-50 ball.
And some of them, I told you in the Discord last night, weren't even 50-50 balls.
Yes,
they felt like they should have been like 60% to Alabama, and the guys still kept getting to them.
Yeah. You could say, like, Rick Barnes has taken heat, and rightfully so, but his teams are always so tough. They're so tough. And last night you saw it. Just what Vescovi does on defense is nothing but toughness and hustle. 4 steals, I think. Some of the steals were ridiculous.
He got credit for 3 in the box score I saw.
Okay. It blows my mind that he's able to stay in front of the guys that he guards, much less that he is able to cause so much havoc and get so many steals. He was phenomenal on defense. Josiah Jordan James had, what, 13 rebounds? I mean, those two guys showed up together in the same game at the same time. They shot 50, you know, about 50% from three. They made all these little plays that were just tremendous. Santi was great driving to the basket and kicking out. Zakai, he had, what, 2 turnovers on 1 possession that one time, but probably his greatest strength is his short memory, I think.
Yeah, he has confidence. He has confidence, and to shoot, you know, sometimes it's for the worse. I can't remember which game it was early this year that, you know, he was like 0 for 7 or 1 for 8 or something, then shot the 3 with the game on the line, and he missed it. I don't remember which game it was. But on Saturday night, he was, what, 3 for 13 from 3 and rose up and drilled one that, you know,
got Tennessee. 4 for 14.
Well, yeah, I was going to say it was 3 for 13 at the time.
Oh, yeah, my bad.
And he shot that one with so much confidence at the top of the key and drained it, and it was a huge shot. But, yes, he was 3 for 13 leading into that, ended up 4 for 14, but it didn't matter because he hit big threes when it mattered.
Yep. I cannot take credit for this. My best friend Luke pointed this out to me, and it held true last night. If he shoots a 3 that is basically from the elbows of the free throw line straight, just keep going straight. If he shoots a 3 from basically that point of the 3-point line, he nails it. He's money. If it's from the top of the key, he's nailing it.
I'd like to see his shot chart because it definitely feels like that. Whenever he is dead on, I feel like that's his best spot. And, yeah, like you said, extend to each side maybe 5 feet, but he needs to be at the top of the key. If Stats by Will can get us a shot chart or something to show us, I would really like to see it because it feels that way.
It's kind of like Josiah Jordan James is money from the corner.
Yep. Josiah needs to be in the corner, and, you know, connect feels really good 3 feet off of that line at the wing. You know, that's where he likes to shoot.
Yep. I mean, what is there to say about Jamal Meshack?
It's my boy.
You can't really say anything other than I think he is pretty much everything you could ever ask for in a college athlete. He seems to be a great human being. First and foremost, he has never complained about his minutes, you know, wavering. I saw Barnes talk about how he went to Barnes after the Texas A&M game and said, "You have to let me guard guards. You have to let me guard guards." And Barnes said, "Ever since we've done that," and, you know, he said, "I told the coaches, I said, what was I thinking ever getting away from that?" He played 27 minutes last night.
Which credit to Barnes for taking that and actually being like, yeah, that was dumb of me. Credit to Meshack because the way it's presented is like he said, hey, just give me a chance. Let me impact the game. Give me a chance to guard guards. That's what I'm here for. And the Texas A&M game in particular, the first half, like you didn't utilize your best asset on defense, which is you have a guy that could take anybody out.
Yep.
You have a guy that could shut someone down. And it's a good feeling having someone out there who could shut someone down. And then last night, and in the first game against Alabama, for some reason, he knows how to score against those guards, maybe because they suck on defense, maybe that's it, but like, he had one bully ball two, and then he hit two big threes.
Yeah.
One in the first half is you were trying to build a lead, and the second one to give you the lead, and you never gave it back after that.
He had 8 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. We have some role players that are just, they're absolutely perfectly suited for some games that our starting five maybe isn't as well suited for. If we need to go to two bigs, we have a Waka. He only played 8 minutes last night, but going into last night, I mean, he had had three really, really good games. You have Meshack, who when you have to lock down the other team's guard. And I mean, just Jordan Ganey was awesome in the first half.
He was awesome in the first half. It's crazy looking at his stat line, seeing 2 for 9 and 0 for 6 from 3, because I felt like he played really good in his minutes.
He drew, in the span of like 3 minutes, he drew like 4 fouls. He made an amazing cut on an assist from Ziegler. You know, he was really, really awesome in the first half. I just, you know, Adu didn't have his A game in the first half. He kind of got it together towards the end. He hit some big free throws, 6 of 9 from free throw for Adu.
It was more like Cedu last night.
Yeah, it was rough in the first half. I mean, you were right that there was no reason not to play Awaka in the first half more with 2 fouls.
Yeah, I put that in the game thread last night, patreon.com/readsrants. The best place to watch a game is in the game thread. Unlike Twitter, it refreshes for you automatically. You don't have to keep scrolling and refreshing. It's great. But yeah, that was my big critique of Barnes, is I didn't think we had to put Awaka on the bench. If you're going to put Adu on the bench, that's fine. Like, if you don't want him to get the third foul, that's fine. But like, I don't think you should be worried about your second string big man that you probably don't have a lot of plans to play big minutes in the second half. I feel like you should have had him in the game towards the end of the first half, not necessarily protected him. If he picks up his third, okay, then put him on the bench. But yeah, I thought that was a bad misstep from Barnes, but one that didn't matter in the grand scheme of things, obviously.
I'm sure you've seen this as well. Over its last 17 games against top 15 opponents dating to December 2022, 2021 against Arizona, Tennessee is 14-3 in those 17 games against top 15 opponents. They've been doing it at home for a long time. They have transitioned to the road. This year, I think that a game like last night was the one thing that we hadn't seen that we really wanted to see. Them go into the road, somebody else's house, a crazy crowd, a good team, and just steal their soul. And they did it. They took a punch, and they popped right back up and punched harder. The defense was just insane. I mean, talk about putting the clamps on somebody.
Yeah, I was going to say, we saw them do that on the road at Rupp Arena. But that was like a 100-point outburst. That was just, hey, the offense is clicking.
Yeah.
This offense is hitting shots. This one wasn't a, hey, things are going poorly, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Because things are going poorly. Like, offensively, you couldn't do much. I mean, you had two separate droughts of basically 6 minutes each. You had two separate. So for like 12 minutes of game time, consecutive, you know, in 6-minute spurts, you scored 0 field goals. Not scoring droughts exactly, but field goals. You had 3 points, I think, in the first drought, and maybe 4 points in the second drought, all through field goals. But you still found a way to stay close enough because of your defense and getting loose balls and getting offensive rebounds, because a lot of those free throws came off of offensive rebounds. And you were still able to score 81 points despite not hitting a field goal for 12 minutes.
Yeah. When we – I know everyone else felt this way too. We were down 6 and – Zakai hit a 3 to cut. Maybe it was like, maybe he hit the 3 to cut it to like 60-57. Zakai hit a 3 to cut it to 3. And I felt like when we were down 6, even when we were down 3, I felt like we were down 15. Even Chris Kilby, brother Chris, texted me and he said, I feel like we're down. You know, he said, I feel like we're down, you know, a ton. And I felt the same way. And my mom was sitting there. She's like, well, you know, it's not over yet. And I was like, I know, we're only down 3. It just felt like we were down so much more for whatever reason.
The moment I had was, you know, we had had the field goal drought from like the 17-minute mark to 10:38. But then Vescovi hit that driving layup on the left side. And at that point, you know, there's 10 minutes left in the game, 10:30. And I looked up and we're only down 4. And I was like, okay, so like we're not that far off. And you're trying to think, okay, you know, you're within striking distance, of course. You just need to play a little bit better. And then, yeah, they come down, get a bucket, and then like you said, you know, Zakai hits the three to cut it to three, and then it was game on from that point.
I guess that was the step back three where he crossed that dude up. That three, it entered the stratosphere. He shot that thing so high, I felt like. He somehow got it over Rylan Griffin's fingertips. They did an amazing job of just Grant Nelson hit 1-3. Maybe Griffin hit one. I mean, Cosby hit a couple. Estrada, I think he had like 14. I mean, they did such an amazing job on defense. Like, Sears got his, but Sears didn't play great, and Sears didn't have a lot of open looks. And you just have to go into the game thinking the Alabama's going to hit X amount of threes. It's just, can you have to keep them from just going bananas.
Sears 2-for-8, Estrada 2-for-8, Griffin 1-for-8. So, you know, just right there, that's what, 5 for 24?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, like Tennessee. I mean, Rick Barnes maybe hasn't felt this way at times. And, like, if you look at the overall record, maybe it doesn't bear out. But, like, three of the last three meetings, Tennessee has Nate Oates' number. Like, Rick Barnes has Nate Oates' number. You go back to last year in Knoxville, you beat them 68-59.
Yep.
Mayshak, again, great in that game. Shut down Brandon Miller. That was another Mayshak game where, you know, he was just dominant while scoring 0 points. He didn't do anything offensively that game, but scored 0 points. And then, yeah, the two matchups this year, you know, you've held them to an average of 72.5.
Yeah. And even Kennedy Chandler's year, they lost in Coleman. They should have won the game. Kennedy, neither Kennedy nor Fulkerson played, and we had the lead like the whole game.
Yep,
you blew gave that it up. One. We blew that one. I mean, he's like, Alabama just hasn't been able to play with our level of physicality. You have called it for weeks now that we match up well with them. We do. We've just played tremendous defense. I mean, it was just, you know, it was just an awesome win. It's just an awesome, awesome win. Like, it was just, I mean, what can you, they're 13-3 in conference. That's so good. They've lost some games they shouldn't have, I know. But they are 13-3 in the best conference or second best conference in America. You know, we're going to have the SEC Player of the Year for the third time since 2018. Like, we are a really, really, really good basketball program. And, you know, I just really hope for Rick's sake we can get over that hump. I hope we can get the one seed. We're accumulating some steam for it.
Jerry Palm has us as a one seed now.
Yep. Jerry Palm has bit the knee. We love Jerry because he's a friend of the show.
I get so goddamn mad whenever I see Jay Billis and Joe Lunardi. I hate both of those guys, and I hate that they are now, you know, both kind of the main pieces of ESPN's college basketball coverage right now, of course, with Billis being the lead guy and then it being bracketology season. I hate both of them so much.
I don't know if you saw this. I was watching SportsCenter late last night, and Lunardi came on, and he was talking about the fourth one seed, and he talked about Tennessee getting it, but he also talked about North Carolina and Marquette having a path to the fourth one seed. Marquette having a path to the fourth one seed. Then he ended it by saying, look, like, Arizona's going to get it because of geography. Like,
it's so stupid, which he keeps saying that, and I know in the Discord, you know, we got a running joke about my gambling odds and all that, but, like, even while he was saying there was pretty much no chance that Tennessee was going to close the gap, the markets have said otherwise. They have Tennessee as a slight underdog to Arizona for the one seed. Like, it's still on the table. And geography might win out. That's fine. But I think the team should get a vote. Like, if Tennessee doesn't care to go out west and be the one seed, then that's fine. Or go out west and be the two seed, because I want to be the two seed in Arizona's bracket regardless. Like, I want to be matched up with them regardless. If we're 4-5 and we're fine with going out west, let's do it. Don't keep us on the East Coast and make us play a tougher opponent.
And I've mentioned that, like, that's what will truly send me over the edge, is if they don't give us the top two seed, they don't give us the lowest, they don't give us the worst one seed, that's what's going to really send me over the edge. I mean,
right.
But all that being said, as egregious as Lenardi is, as annoying as he is, as smug as he, his smugness is what really sends me to the moon.
Yeah.
I will never forget him laughing on Selection Sunday 2 years ago when Reese Davis was basically campaigning for Tennessee to get that one seed the year we won the SEC tournament. He was on the worldwide leader campaigning for UT to get the one seed, and Lenardi laughing at him about it. Basically saying Tennessee had no chance, they had no hope, they had no argument. As smug as he is, and the smugness is what kills me, it cannot be overstated, it cannot be said enough how bad Jay Billis was last night.
He makes me so damn mad. I hate him so much.
My mother, who knows nothing about sports, I was like, Mom, just sit in here and watch it with us instead of walking into the living room every 5 minutes asking us what the score is. So she sat there and watched it with us. And multiple times, she made multiple comments about how bad the announcers were. You would never have known that Tennessee was ranked higher. How many comparisons of Mark Sears or Jalen Brunson do we have to get in a broadcast? Like, hey, man, Zakai Ziegler is really good, too. The only thing that I can really think of is him talking about how good Santi's ball fakes are.
And that's one of the things that actually drive us crazy as a fan base.
He waxed poetic about Santi's ball fakes. Like, you would never have known that Tennessee was ranked higher. You would never have known they were the better team. If you didn't see the final score, you might not even have known they won. You never would have known they had the best player in the country, or second best player in the country. I mean, it was outrageous.
They were trying to will it into existence in the first half. That's what was making me mad. It's like a 6-point game. I think it was 29-23. He's like, here comes Alabama. Yeah. They're heating up. I was like, they're down 6. Now they end up, you know, did come on, do a little run or whatever. But like Tennessee got it back to 10 before them falling apart. But like, they're just like waiting for the eruption, the explosion. And it just made me so angry. I don't usually find myself getting too mad at things like that, but I was fuming last night.
This is one of those things that Tennessee's, we'll say, more redneck contingent is 100% correct about. And Jay Billis, like, he's that bad. Like, he is that bad.
You're talking about smugness with Lenardi. Multiply it by 5 to put on Jay Billis.
Yeah.
Multiply it by 5. I hate him so much. And is this a new thing? Because a lot of people, you know, said that he's really been doing this since last year's Duke game. Because we punked his team. He was leading the Duke charge last year, and Tennessee bullied him. And, you know, I remember in that broadcast, or him talking about the game, not on the game, of course, but him talking about the game, just talked about how it was a street fight and a prison fight and blah, 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 how Tennessee was a bunch of thugs that gooned it up. And it seems like since then, maybe he got some backlash from Tennessee fans, and he's just made it his mission to hate Tennessee.
You know, I don't know if this is if him being this insufferable was a new thing. It certainly feels like it has been ratcheted up a notch. I remember last year really being stunned listening to an Alabama broadcast when they were ranked number 1 and him saying that Alabama handled the Brandon Miller situation as perfectly as possible from a legal standpoint. They handled it perfectly, which I remember then being just like, what? Like, Nate Oates, like, Nate Oates lied to the administration about the whole thing. They didn't even know that Brandon Miller was, like, present until it went to court. Like, they handled it as perfectly as possible. Like, what? I mean, you can say legally that they were, you know, beyond reproach because there was nothing from a legal standpoint they did that was illegal. But to say that they handled it perfectly when Nate Oates was just out here, like, not telling his admin what was going on.
I guess that's what he means by legally. Just, hey, we're going to plead ignorant to everything. We're not going to ask any questions. We're not going to incriminate ourselves. Hey, don't ask, don't tell. we don't want to be accessories. If that's what he's made, if that is what he means, then okay, maybe that was perfect legally, but I don't think Jay Billis is just supposed to be a lawyer. He's also supposed to look at it from a college athletic standpoint too. And Nate Oates should have, you know, been in more hot water for the way he handled it, right? Like, if Nate Oates wasn't as successful at Alabama as he has been, he might have gotten fired over that at a different school.
Yeah.
And, like, Jay Billis should be looking at it that way. Not like, hey, man, nobody's going to jail here. Good job.
Yeah. And maybe that is how he meant it, but it certainly didn't feel like that.
No perjury. No lying. You just didn't ask any questions. You didn't know anything. Pleading ignorance.
It certainly didn't feel like it in that broadcast. I mean, he was insufferable last night. I mean, you just...
No, he's the son of a bitch. I don't like him.
It was dreadful to listen to him. Tennessee, like... I know under Barnes that even when Tennessee's really, really good, they're not going to get probably the amount of love that they deserve just because of the way they kind of play. But this team is different. This team runs and guns. We shoot the three. We have the star. Like,
Jimmy Dykes is the only one who loves us. Every year, Jimmy Dykes, he rides for us.
Jimmy Dykes has been, for like 3 weeks now, Jimmy Dykes has been tweeting, Tennessee one seed. Even when it was like, no, Jimmy, he's been like, Tennessee one seed. Like, he loves the Vols.
He's been doing it for like 5 years. He's has, you know, in the near the first class of that damn jet for five years running now.
Jimmy's jet, you know, and I mean, he's obviously an SEC homer, like Fran Fraschilla is a Big 12 homer. That's fine. They have these guys covering specific conferences. Those guys are going to be, you know, more amenable to the conference they cover, but he's it. I mean, the broadcast was outrageous. It was like, I know it was at Alabama, they had game day, but like, they had, you know, 94 feet with Jay Billis or whatever, but like, come on, man. Tennessee has a lot of college basketball players that ought to be celebrated, because people like Josiah Jordan James and Santi, they've driven us crazy, but they represent themselves. They've been perfect off the court. They're great humans. They're everything you can want in college athletes.
I mean, yeah, add Rick Barnes into that too.
Yeah. Rick Barnes is the perfect gentleman. He's out here praying for Dick Vitale every morning. Like, you know, he's sending Dick Vitale all these great text messages. I mean, like, I saw the screenshot of Lamonte Turner's text with Rick Barnes, where Rick had sent him like this really heartfelt text back after Lamonte had congratulated him on 800 wins. I mean, Rick Barnes is like the perfect gentleman.
Friend of the program, coming on the morning show Friday, by the way.
Lamonte?
No. Oh, Rick Barnes.
Rick Barnes. That's awesome.
Right before senior day. But you would think that they would be praising Rick Barnes and those players at UT that, yes, are doing things the right way.
You know, people like Jemai Meshack, they don't transfer.
I'd be more interested in the evolution of Rick Barnes on offense versus Nate Oates copying the three-pointer and layup philosophy. He didn't create that. He didn't invent the idea of three-pointers and layups.
They acted like, because he taught high school math, he had figured out the perfect geometry of floor spacing on a 94-foot-long hardwood floor.
He just happened to see a Kirk Goldsberry tweet from years ago, as Kirk Goldsberry started mapping out the shot charts, and he paid attention at the Sloan Center convention or watched a Houston Rockets game one time. He didn't do anything special. I'm more interested in Barnes going from, hey, we're going to play nothing but defense, no offense, to him evolving at his old age and becoming more of an offensive coach. I'd be much more interested in that.
Not even to mention that I didn't even realize this until somebody posted in the Discord, all that stuff they talked last night, Tennessee shot more threes than Alabama.
I just don't know when we started praising the bastardization of the sport. Like, it's one thing, okay, offense going to zoom, go fast, but, like, you also can't completely ignore defense.
Yeah.
Like they completely ignore defense. They're terrible at defense. They don't even try.
They're completely disinterested in it. They don't.
Right.
Like, it's insane. It's hilarious. They don't even put up, like, a facade of caring. That's what's the thing. Tennessee had shot decent last night. They blow Alabama out. Like, they don't even play defense. They're 100th in defense on KenPom today.
And it's like Nate Oates hasn't had any big-time success nationally yet. I mean, I know he's won some games in the SEC. I know he overwhelms the bad teams. I get that. But, like, he flames out in the tournament, same as Barnes. So it's all you can look and say postseason failures for Rick Barnes. Nate Oates has them, too.
Yeah. Never gotten past the Sweet 16.
Is that true? He's never even been to Elite Eight?
No. They lost to UCLA when UCLA made the finals with Jaime Jaquez. Uh-huh. And then last year they lost to San Diego State.
Okay. And then Gonzaga knocked him. Oh, no, I guess it was UCLA that knocked him out, not Gonzaga, yeah.
In the Sweet 16 game, they hit that three from like the volleyball line to go to overtime against UCLA. And UCLA ended up storming them in overtime and winning.
Okay.
When they had John Petty, and that might have been Kyra Lewis as well.
So, yeah, like, you know, it feels like this year they're even less interested in playing defense.
Oh, yeah. I've never seen him like this. Like, normally his teams play it somewhat. This year they don't even try. And he's talked about it before. He talked about it after the Kentucky game. He's like, you know, everyone knows pretty much by now we don't even try to play defense.
I just didn't know when we started praising that. But I feel like I was watching a damn infomercial last night as Tennessee was winning the game. And then Tennessee makes a pretty damn good comeback. Like, Alabama has two field goals the final 10 minutes of the game.
Yeah.
And one of them shouldn't even count it. Like, the player stepped out of bounds. Sears had a foot clearly out of bounds on his layup. I think it was the one in garbage time. Yeah, I mean, it was to cut it from 7-5, whatever. But still, they had two field goals in the last 10 minutes of the game.
Yeah, I mean.
Good job, Nate Oates. Basketball genius. Basketball savant. How about you draw up a play that gets you a bucket?
Yeah, it's like. Barnes has obviously changed his focus or whatever, but it was nice to see them be able to just still lock down on D when they needed to. I mean, that last 10 minutes was a masterclass in defense.
That's the word that keeps getting thrown around. That's what Josiah called it, but I mean, it was Tennessee just making pretty much every play.
Yeah.
That they needed to make.
Yep. They are just flat out better than Alabama, and they wanted it more. They played harder. I mean, you were right. Some of the 50-50 balls we got, we shouldn't have gotten. And I mean, the sequence by Jamai was just the three and then the steal where he looked like a freaking free safety. Just, you know, tracking the ball and then picking it off.
And that led to a 3-point play. I think Adu missed the free throw, but. It was a huge swing.
That sequence was just, I mean.
Do you think Mayshak gets more minutes going forward? Is it going to kind of be like last time where he played 28 against Alabama, 27, and then went back to 13, 14 minutes a game? Of course, most teams don't have a guard like Sears that you have to shut down.
I mean, I think he'll play a lot against Kentucky.
Sure. Yeah.
He'll play a lot against Kentucky. I mean, I imagine he'll be on, like, Dillingham. But. You know, I don't think it's going to go. I think Awaka's minutes are going to do what they do, where one game he might play a ton and the next game he might play like eight. I think at this point you have to play Mayshak more. I mean, you have to let him guard guards.
How tall is Michi Johnson?
I don't know.
I know he's a guard, but I don't know.
Where did he come from? Has he always been there?
I don't know. I know he was balling yesterday. Yeah, he's a sophomore. He was there last year, too, so. I assume he's been there. That's the only place he's been. But, yeah, he was balling. He's balled their last two games against A&M and against Florida. So I'd like to take him out.
He transferred. He played 2 years at Ohio State.
Oh, really?
And this is his second year at SC.
This damn Yahoo app is stupid. It has nothing about the – I guess it says recent career. But why not just have the whole damn 4 years of where he played?
When it comes to insurance, you want someone you can trust. Look, you trust me with your time. You listen to me to laugh, to think, or so that I can make you mad with something I've said. Look, trust the person that I trust when it comes to insurance. John Runyon with Farm Bureau. John is a longtime friend of mine, since junior high actually, and has been my insurance agent the last 4 or 5 years. He will be honest, fair, and maybe most importantly, communicate with you in a timely manner. When I had a rock go through my windshield and needed to make a claim, the process was quick and easy. I had a check mailed to me almost instantly. To see what he can do for you when it comes to home, auto, or life insurance, contact him via phone at 865-982-9800. 2559, or you can shoot him an email to get the ball rolling at John, J-O-H-N, dot Runyan, R-U-N-Y-A-N, at F-B-I-T-N.com. That's 865-982-2559, or John dot Runyan at F-B-I-T-N.com. John Runyan with Farm Bureau.
Anyways, let's get to some patron questions. Patreon.com/ReedsRanch. New $5 patron. Shout out to Dan.
Shout out to brother Dan. We love you and appreciate you.
I believe that's three new patrons, so there'll be an extra $30 in the March Madness pool when it gets set up, but we still got time to sign up for that. Patreon.com/ReedsRanch. Let's hit some questions.
Brother Ryan T. Shannon, Esquire, as he's a lawyer, asks, what are each of your top three true road wins in the Rick Barnes era?
Well, there's not a lot of the showcase road wins, are there? I mean, I know there's a couple at Kentucky.
I can tell you my top three.
Okay.
Lamonte hitting the three from the top of the key.
That's number one.
That's number one.
Yeah. Last night's number two.
Last night's number two. And then for me personally, it's not the biggest win. There's been bigger wins, you know. But when Grant and Admiral won at Florida on that Saturday night and they did the Gator Chomp, that game, it almost reminded me of last night. It does remind me of last night. Alabama's better than that Florida team, but just kind of like everything was going against you kind of feel in that team then in 2018, like the team last night did. They just stepped up and they just got it done. Those are the top three road wins under Barnes, in my opinion. That game against Florida was so much fun. Still, me and Mike Palmer were talking about it the other day. It's just an awesome, awesome win. So those are my top three.
I think you had a 10-0 run in that game as well.
That sounds right.
Because I think Tennessee had won like all their SEC games by 10 points up to that point, so you kept the streak going. That's a pretty good one. That's a pretty good one. I mean, the other one that stood out to me was just, you know, the John Fulkerson game at Rupp Arena.
Yeah. That's the funniest one.
That's the funniest one. I know. Like, that one's the funniest one, and like, you know, just wins at Rupp Arena, so few and far between. For him to go score 27, I think it was. And then you had the Keon and Springer game, but none of those mattered in the grand scheme of things. Those teams, you know, weren't very good.
Yeah, that game against Florida was 2019. We won 78-67.
Yeah, I want to say you ended it on a 10-0 run.
That game was really, really fun. Yeah, I mean,
the other best road moments you came up short on, like you maybe blew games. You played good. You know, that flurry against Texas was pretty fun, but you lost. The game against Arizona, you played really well, but you lost at Arizona because of foul trouble. As far as like breaking through and actually winning, there's not that many to choose from, I don't think.
It's really hard to win on the road.
It is.
It's really hard to win on the road. Brother B-Jack asks, out of the other top seeds we could potentially face in our region of the NCAA tournament, which ones would you most like to see?
Does he mean just like in the second round and on?
He's of the other top seeds, so I'm guessing he means like the top.
Okay, so like Sweet 16 and Elite Eight.
I mean, of the one seeds, like Brother Tucker Carlson, who is basically at this point running CVS, or Walgreens, whichever one it is. he said something, I think it was that Arizona does not have a quad one win in 2024.
I saw a tweet that said they've only beaten like what, four tournament teams? Is that right? It was like them and North Carolina. I think North Carolina's beaten five tournament teams and Arizona's beaten four. Meanwhile, Tennessee has like what they're calling the quad 1A, like the big time quad one wins. I don't know exactly what they break those out into, but I imagine like top 10 team at home, I'd probably say top 25 team on the road. So you throw Wisconsin still in there.
Is Michigan State a tournament team? Do we know? I think they are. So Arizona's got Duke, Michigan State, Wisconsin, I think.
Yeah.
Alabama.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's it. They've beaten four tournament teams because they got swept by Washington State. I mean, they don't have a quad one win in 2024, so that's who I would choose. I don't think there's any question. He says potential Sweet 16, Elite Eight matchups. I would like to play Marquette.
Why? Why? Just because?
I don't think they're very good.
Their size, yeah, okay.
I don't think anybody out of that conference is good except Connecticut.
I mean, I'd like to play Duke. If we're 2-3 matchup, I'd like to play Duke.
Yep, that's what I was going to say. I wouldn't mind playing North Carolina again.
Give me Alabama on a neutral court. That's fine. Don't care about that.
I would like to play Kansas again.
Yeah, Kansas is a good one. You know, both those games that you lost to Purdue and Kansas, Zakai wasn't healthy.
Yeah.
Or he wasn't back, you know, his confidence back.
It's amazing how much better he got after, like, the first 15 games, 10, 15 games.
And I was bitching about that. I'll take the L on that. I was saying, you know, Barnes, you know, quit giving him so many minutes. He's not got it right now. Just play somebody else. Let him get healthy. Barnes stuck with him, and he did eventually break out of it and has gone, you know, on to be like a top 6 or 7 point guard this year in the country.
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe he doesn't get there if Barnes messes with his confidence and puts him on the bench.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the three teams, I mean, of the three teams, the big non-conference losses you had, I mean, I really would like Tennessee's chances against North Carolina and Kansas on a neutral floor.
To me, the four seeds right now projected according to Bracket Matrix, you know, which takes an average of where everyone has them, all the bracketologists that subscribe to it. The four seeds are Creighton, Auburn, San Diego State, and Illinois.
San Diego State is a four seed?
Yeah, according to this.
Wow, I didn't know they were having that good a season. Okay.
Any of those teams scare you? Illinois doesn't. I mean, Creighton's got that big freak down there, and they got, you know, the one good wing player.
Yeah, they've got the two big men. One is that wing guy. Yeah, I mean, they're good, I guess, but do they scare me?
Yeah, I mean, I take my chances there.
Yeah, I take my chances.
Three seeds, Iowa State, Alabama, Baylor, Duke.
None of those scare me.
I haven't watched enough Iowa State. I know everyone talks about them being really good.
I know that guy's an amazing coach, but they just seem like a team that has played over their head because they're so well coached. I would take my chances against them.
Tennessee, North Carolina, Marquette, Kansas. I think we're fine with any of the two seeds.
Yeah.
Especially if you swap out and edit. You know, let's just say Arizona, North Carolina, Marquette, Kansas. I think we're fine with any of those.
Yeah.
One seeds, Purdue, Connecticut, Houston. I mean, I think we don't really want to play Connecticut.
Yeah. Yeah. Looking
for as we hate Nate Oates, I think watching Hurley on the sideline would have us even more angry.
Yeah.
The build up to that.
This has Clemson as a 5 seed?
Yeah, they had a bad loss yesterday.
Okay. I didn't know they were that high. Of the 5 seeds, I would like to play any of those except really Kentucky, and that's just because I wouldn't want to play Kentucky in the NCAA tournament.
Clemson's got a couple big old boys that are
PJ Hall, yeah, he's pretty good.
PJ Hall's good, and they got another goon down there that was balling at least at North Carolina the game I watched him. We have like a college basketball like gambling expert that comes on every Friday, and he's big on Clemson making the Final Four.
Okay.
So for that reason, I don't think I'd want to play Clemson, but I'm not going to be scared of them. BYU can shoot. Kentucky's dangerous. Would have no issue playing Wisconsin again. I mean, I think Tennessee is as good as anybody in the country.
They
can beat anybody. Would I choose to like not want to play Connecticut? Sure. Would I be scared if we played Connecticut? No. I think if you can go on the road and win at Alabama and win at Kentucky, then you can beat anybody on neutral court.
Yeah. I mean, winning at Rupp is like an act of God. You know, I mean, and they did it. They did it pretty handily, and I think it's fair to say they didn't win. They were clearly the better team last night.
Yep.
I
mean, they looked like a team that had won by 20 points at home.
Yeah.
They were better.
Yep.
And, you know, that's what I kept coming back to when we talked about the game. It was like, yeah, we're on the road, but we're just better and we match up better.
Yep.
You almost had a really bad shooting night, so we could play the hits in terms of just got to knock down some shots. You know, that's our cope after every loss. And a lot of times it's true. You know, it just comes down to missing open looks. And, you know, for a while we were missing them. But you didn't lose. You just kept going. And that's how bad Alabama is defensively.
You just kept going. Brother Gabe asks for both, how does it feel that what feels like a few short years ago, we were walling in the messes being made by Donnie Tindall and Butch Jones, and now we're contending for championships in sports year in and year out?
Feels great, Brother Gabe, but it feels like we need to break through and win one.
We need to win a championship.
And I'll include a Final Four as quote unquote winning a championship, but I would really like to win it all. Like, I know we always make the Final Four the goal because we've never gotten there, and that's kind of the way they have branded college basketball. But I want to win the whole fucking thing. But yeah, like, everything's healthy right now. It feels great. Like, you're the premier athletic department in the country. When you combine your success in sports and the way people view your leadership, you're number one. Once the baseball stadium, you know, gets the renovations going, or like gets them complete, you're going to have a really nice baseball park. Your basketball arena is as good as anybody's. Your football arena is as good as, or football stadium is as good as anybody's. You got a bunch of money. Your teams are good. You got good fans that support all your sports. You're as good as it gets. You are America's college sports town. Just gotta get all that damn construction done on campus.
Finish some construction, man.
Please, for the love of God, just get these apartments up. Let's go.
Before we get out of here, can we talk about Virginia basketball's offense? Have you been seeing the scores they've been putting up?
I saw they were maybe playing around the same time as, did they end right before we played, maybe? I think Duke and Virginia was right before us, yeah. And they were talking about how, you know, how committee members don't react to one game or whatever, but they're like, I don't know how you wouldn't after watching that game. Like, they asked to drop them multiple seeds. Like, that was so dreadful. They're down to a 10 seed. Like, that should keep them out of the tournament.
Yeah, it shouldn't make the tournament. And they've lost three out of their last four. And in those three losses, they have scored 48 points, 44 points, and 41 points. They lost to Virginia Tech, who Virginia Tech on the season is... Virginia Tech is 16 and 13th. They are 8 and 10 in the ACC. They beat Virginia 75 to 41.
God.
It remains amazing to me that they ever won a national title.
Yeah, I mean, like, they're going to go from national champion to having to fire that same coach, probably. Like, I don't understand how you just don't fire him after this year. How many years can you watch that offense?
I know. They last year they reverted back to their usual thing in the tournament and lost to Furman on the buzzer beater in the first round. But, I mean, like, because he wins the ACC so much. That's why they can't. He won the ACC last year. Like,
I guess. To me, it's a lot tougher to deal with bad results or mediocre results or whatever whenever your offense is just so dreadful. I mean, it's like Jeremy Pruitt ball. I mean, not to make everything about Tennessee football, but it's like that. It's a lot tougher when you're losing those games and scoring 15 points a game.
Yeah, they scored 18 points in the first half last night.
It's like watching the Tennessee Titans, the bad version.
So, predicted spread for Wednesday night?
I imagine Tennessee's going to be 5-point favorites.
Okay. My dad, what do you think? I said 3.5 today at lunch after church.
3.5 is fine, but I would be surprised if it wasn't juiced up a little bit the way Tennessee's been playing.
Can you ever recall a team having to finish their season on a 4-game gauntlet like what the Vols have?
They're halfway there. I'll tell you this, Seth. Winning 2 games in a row seems a lot easier, than 4 games in a row.
Yep. They're halfway there.
Do you buy South Carolina?
No, like, I still don't. Florida, did you watch it yesterday?
Yeah, I watched the whole game.
Florida gagged all over themselves.
Do we know how to stop, or do we know how to score on a 1-3-1 zone? Because Florida sure as the hell didn't.
Yeah, apparently Florida just can't beat a zone, from what they were saying. That's the second time in, like, what, a couple weeks, a week or whatever, that...
Said Alabama did the same thing to them, which I didn't recall that because I was watching at trivia, so I wasn't maybe paying attention to the details as much as I was just the scoring, but... I don't know, they scored 90 points. I know it was overtime, but they scored 84 in regulation.
Yeah.
85 in regulation. It wasn't like the zone kicked their ass too much, but they did blow a 10-point lead, so maybe it did.
I mean, I still don't know. Like, Meiji Johnson went 10 of 15 from the field. He only shot 5 threes. I mean, like, he's shooting twos. I don't buy South Carolina. I won't. I refuse. I refuse as a fact of principle now to... I mean, the guy's done an amazing job. Lamont Turner's done an amazing job. Don't get me wrong. He's done an incredible job. I thought they were totally dead when they lost to LSU at home. And he's turned around and he's fired off a win at Ole Miss, a win at A&M, and then he beat Florida at home.
They Which, by the way, thank God they lost to LSU.
No kidding.
This
no
game would
kidding.
Feel a lot more stressful if they hadn't lost to LSU, because we'd have to win this game, then still turn around and beat Kentucky.
No, I mean, no, I don't buy them. I mean, like, it's not that I think Wednesday night will be easy. I don't expect it to be easy. But I expect Tennessee to win, and I'm thankful we have a day off.
I don't know what to do with this Meechie Johnson guy. Just going through his last, like, 11 games. Here are his point totals. 0, he went 0-9 against Missouri. 3, he went 1-8 at Tennessee. 11 against Georgia. 6 against Mississippi. 6 against Vandy. 22 against Auburn. 0 against LSU. 5 against Ole Miss. 22 at A&M. 25 against Florida.
He had a third of their total points against Auburn. He had 22 of their 61 points against Auburn.
I don't get it.
He's shooting 34% from 33.5% from 3. He's shooting 41% from the field.
I will say that doing the morning show, it does kind of, like, this week I kind of regret it. Or this week it hurts me, because I would like to go to South Carolina on Wednesday night, and I would have had my show still been at noon. Yeah, I could have came back in the morning, but, you know, it's impossible to go there and be back in time for the show at 7.
But no, I mean, I've never even heard of these dudes they have. So they have some guy named BJ Mack, who he transferred from Wofford.
We just keep waiting for him to lose, though. And
he's
to their 6'8", credit,
270.
They just keep winning.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Lamont Turner's done an amazing job.
They just keep winning.
But no, I don't buy them, and I expect to win.
So they are down at 43rd on KenPom. Tennessee is at 5th. Yeah, I'll stick with, I think it'll be, I'm going with 5.5. 5.5 on the spread. Maybe that ends up being wrong, but we were 13 at home, so like an 8-point swing for home court, that's not crazy.
And I'm still not, I mean, like, Kentucky, they're winning, they're playing better, they've turned the corner or whatever, but they're still not playing defense at all. I mean, to give up triple digits to that Arkansas team, to give up 89 to Mississippi State.
Yeah, I will feel good about our chances on Saturday, but I would rather have the SEC wrapped up.
Yes, 100%.
I don't want to play with any fire there.
Yeah, agree. 100% agree. But I mean, Kentucky's just not playing defense still, but they are filling it up. They're absolutely filling it up.
Yeah, they are as good of an offensive team as you'll ever see in college basketball.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
I know they didn't score a lot against LSU.
I mean, Reed Shepard he's really good. I mean, I love watching Rob Dillingham play.
I like watching this Kentucky team. I don't want to end this great podcast by praising Kentucky, but they are fun to watch because they score and they give up buckets too. So it is fun to watch.
Like, Rob Dillingham is the most fun player I've watched this season outside of Dawson Connect.
But also, I want you to note, Seth, as you're praising Rob Dillingham, whenever we watch Kentucky games, ESPN is not praising John Calipari. They are not treating John Calipari like he reinvented the wheel and created college basketball offenses like they do with Nate Oates. Kentucky's offense is every bit as good as Alabama's, if not better.
I mean, all this because he was a high school math teacher. I mean, he's not Euclid or, you know, Pythagoras. Like, he did, like, it's just as ridiculous. It was ridiculous. Man, he copied Golden State Warriors. That's not exactly splitting the atom.
No, he didn't, Seth, because the Golden State Warriors played defense with it,
too.
That's
true. That's true. They have Draymond Green.
Yeah, they played a lot of defense with it, too. He copied, like, the 7 seconds or less Suns that never broke through and won anything with Steve Nash. They didn't play any defense either. So the game on Saturday, because I imagine we're not going to talk during the middle of the week. The game on Saturday is at 4 o'clock, and South Carolina goes to Mississippi State at 2:30. So if you do lose to South Carolina on Wednesday, you know, you'll have to be locked in at 2:30 and hope that they lose at Mississippi State.
Mm-hmm.
That game won't be final. by the time our game starts. I'll be at the Thompson Bowling Arena at Food City Center, so I won't be watching. So hopefully we take care of business Wednesday, because that'd be pretty deflating if we had a replay of, like, you know, the 2015 SEC Championship race.
Yeah, that's just what I was thinking about.
I guess that was 2016, sorry. Yeah. 2016 SEC Championship race. That'd be pretty deflating to get that news right when the game started.
I mean, I can't get over the announcers last night.
I hate Jay Billis. I'm glad that I won't have to listen to him anymore.
Yeah.
Because he won't be on the call Wednesday. He might be on the call Saturday, but I won't be there. I assume Duke and North Carolina play, so we'll send him there. Yeah. We still want to pretend like that rivalry has any juice.
Yeah, we still want to pretend like people care. Nobody cares. Do people even care about Duke anymore?
I haven't cared about Duke, you know, since they won the championship with Okafor or whatever, but, like, I haven't cared about that rivalry since, like, Tyler Hansbrough and J.J. Redick. Well, okay. I guess J.J. Redick, you know, that was before, but, like, Tyler Hansbrough getting his face broken is the last time I cared about that rivalry. Once he graduated, I was done with it.
The ACC just sucks. I mean, the ACC sucks.
I love you. Congrats on the win. I hope you strut your ass all week at work. Do you have anybody in your life that loves Alabama basketball?
Oh, yeah, I have several.
Okay. Okay. Well, I hope that you get to give them shit all week.
But I
mean, please let them know that whatever happens in the SEC tournament doesn't matter.
How do we feel about that? Just make it to Saturday and then bow out?
Honestly, I don't care. Yeah, like, make it to Saturday. If you bow out, you bow out. Yeah, I don't want to lose to Friday because I'd be to a bad team that might justify them knocking you off the one seed line.
Yep.
Maybe. But yeah, I don't care about winning it. Especially if we're going to have, like, a Thursday tournament set up.
So, Quad 1 wins are neutral site top 50 teams?
Correct.
So, Friday should be over a Quad 1 team.
Okay.
Friday should be a Quad 1 win, right?
I would imagine. Who's it going to be? Like, Mississippi State? Because
even, like, State is a Quad 1 win neutral site, surely.
Yeah. They're number 30 right now.
Yeah. So, winning Friday, get another Quad 1 win.
Is A&M in the mix for that 8-9 matchup, or who is it? I don't even know.
Right now, 8th is
1, 2, 3, 4,
Ole Miss
5,
and
A&M 6, 7,
are the
8-9. Okay, like, Ole Miss probably not going to be quad one. I can't imagine they're top 50.
Yeah, I can't. So maybe not. Yeah, just win Friday for sure.
And then, yeah, maybe we just forfeit. Maybe we say, thank you, sir. We're going home.
Missouri's really going to do it, man. They're really going to go 0-18.
And then probably still keep their coach.
Because they're not going to beat Auburn. They're not going to beat Auburn Tuesday night. And I'm assuming they're not going to go on the road and beat LSU.
Maybe. Maybe. We were their best chance to do something, like, down the stretch.
0-18, man.
Vanderbilt was, of course, their best chance to get one earlier in the year.
LSU's 8-8 in the SEC. Who knew? They're above Ole Miss and A&M. I mean, I had no clue.
They're pesky. All right, buddy. Love you. Congrats. Like I said, strut your ass. You deserve it for all the football losses you've had to take. Enjoy it. We'll talk. Like I said, probably not during the week. We'll wait and do one. Let's plan on doing one Sunday again.
Yep. Yep.
After the Kentucky game.
Yep.
All right. Have a good week. Love you.
All right. I love you too. Bye-bye.
I swear to God, my whole thing been wicked. Tried to keep the peace, but all our peace around is bitches. I see the topic now, but everything is snitching. If it's allegations, you snitching, then I promise, nigga. Thank God for me, all my bitches gon' lie for me. Thank God for me, Lil G wagging a Tesla cheap. Thank God for me, all my niggas gon' slide for me. All my niggas gon' for me. Nigga, go to hell, you ain't fed. The white bitch do what I said. You rap niggas stay on your pants. The truth been coming out fair. My neck piece looking like pears. The main bag, me and her married. I look down, nigga, that's scared. The rat tails need to get buried. You hanging on to it now barely. Move on, nigga, that's clarity. Came home, nigga, that's scandalous. Talk red-handed on candy. Bitch ass, nigga, you fancy. IG looking like Bambi. Real life, nigga, no Grammy. Big watch, nigga, it's glossy. Quick flex, gotta get off. Get back, nigga, you off. Shoe shine, nigga, keep dancing. Cut a log, really stance. Big fees, one of my feet. No cheese, one of my seat. Blue lips, really I'm speechless. What's going on? Shit getting tricky out here, my nigga. What's going on? He tellin', what going on? Man, it was supposed to be a secret, my. Oh God, you niggas lame. Oh God, you niggas shame. Oh God, you niggas ain't. Oh God, put a hole right now. Oh God, I'ma fuck.
sucker in the face on God. The American dream, hoorah. Why these police ass niggas going live? He lie, we slide. He slide, fucker in the face, hoorah. I done ran from the Porsche, just vibes. Had a real ass nigga won't die. Shit, a legend like me can't die. I'm alive, who lie? I been popping this shit since 9. Few times, more times. If I go right now, I'm fine. If I die right now, I'm fine. With a mirror at home, I'm fine. Got a bucket at home, still mine. Got the same little Rory that climbs. I shine. Boy, you gotta catch up, you blind. Got a girl, dark skin, she fine. Okay, rewind. Got a new little thing that grind. Got a best friend with her, that's mine. Keep trying. If you couldn't do the work, why sign? Want the money or you wanna inspire? Cause the same old crying get tired. You liar, you fire. The bullshit we on, the chain on neon. The frostbite on my wrist, you cling on. The dead weight on my back, just get on. My tongue kiss serving the white hole to Leon. I put gold seats in the house just to be on. I used to be on Perks and Xanax, that was kudos. The money got too big, cash on sumo. Thank God for me, all my bitches gon' lie for me. Thank God for me, Lil G-Wag or the Tesla G. Thank God for me, all my niggas gon' slide for me. All my niggas gon' me.